Hi, I'm Kate Boyle, and welcome to the Mind Movement Health podcast. Each week, I'll be bringing you health information from diet and lifestyle to movement and nutrition. My aim is to bring you bite-sized pieces of information that you can instigate into your everyday life to change your health. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Mind Movement Health podcast. I'm your host, Kate Boyle, and I'm really excited today because on today's show, we are going to be chatting about energy, calories, weight loss, and trying to answer the question, are all calories created equal? Now, this is one of those topics that there are so many different answers to depending on which expert you speak to and at what age you're getting your information from. So we used to believe years ago that energy in equaled energy out. So a really easy equation to lose weight. If you're trying to lose weight, then you need to reduce the amount of energy that you're eating and increase the amount of energy that you're burning, and that equation will lead to weight loss. That seemed pretty simple. But for so many people trying to lose weight, they were doing all the right things. They were reducing their calorie intake, watching what they were eating, eating healthy, exercising really hard. But even now, so many people that try that method, they find they just don't lose weight, or they'll lose weight for a short period of time whilst they're, you know, on that really tight calorie restricted diet. And for after that first week or two, no more weight comes off. And then, you know, things just start to stabilize out again. And they wonder why that, you know, they haven't lost this huge amount of weight that they thought they would by following this equation. Now, why does that happen? Well, it's a number of things. But, you know, one of the big things is we need to think about our hormones. And I know if you're a regular listener, you know, I'm always chatting about whole body health, tuning into our bodies, you know, making sure that we've got our great balance of our hormones, because they play such an important role for our overall health and in so many different functions, you know, chemicals within our body, all of these types of things. Our hormones are going all the time. So if they're not in balance, then this can have a huge effect on slowing down our metabolism, increasing inflammation in our body, and generally making it much harder to lose weight. Now, you may often, or you can often see this in people that have autoimmune conditions, like a thyroid condition. It can be really easy, depending on what thyroid condition you have. Sometimes it's hard to keep weight on. Sometimes it's really hard to lose weight. But it might just be, you know, if you've been carrying a few extra kilos and you have been trying to do all the right things, exercise, eat well, get good sleep, but the weight's just not budging or coming off, we might really need to do a deep dive and have a much deeper look at the body, have a look at the inflammation levels in the body, how are your hormones functioning, and really dive into different practices that are going to support the body and promote repair, reduce inflammation to really help see that change on the scales. So, how do we fix this hormone disruption or really start tuning into our body to make these changes? Well, you can definitely work with a functional medicine doctor, a nutritionist, a dietitian, you know, get your labs done, so blood tests, stool tests, and really dive into checking out what's going on at a deeper level. But if you just want to try to do a few different changes, add a few things in, take a few things out and see what happens, then I'm going to dive into just a few easy tips and tricks that you can start to add in and see if you can get some change. Now, first of all, one of the big things that we can really do to support our hormones, but also to help ourselves and prime our bodies to lose weight, is to cut out inflammatory and processed foods. So we know these are things like takeaway foods, foods that are high in sugar, or our inflammatory seed oils. So remember cutting out canola oil, sunflower oil, all these, you know, inflammatory seed oils make a huge difference and can really disrupt our hormones. So cutting out some of those foods is a great place to start and really easy to do. Just substitute in, you know, some of our good fats, whole foods, drinking plenty of water, and being aware of our alcohol intake as well. We know that alcohol is really a toxin, essentially, puts our liver under a lot more pressure to have to process, which means it's not going to be functioning at its best. Also, we can avoid foods that have additives and preservatives and chemicals in them. So these are hidden in so many different foods. And as a consumer and even as a nutritionist, it's really frustrating because you know, I have swapped over to almond milk recently just from doing some DNA testing and confirming that I am lactose intolerant, which I will share on another episode. But even trying to find an almond milk that doesn't contain canola oil in it, which is, you know, in itself strange. We shouldn't need canola oil in an almond milk, or high levels of sugar. You know, turning that packet over, really reading the back, it sometimes does feel like you need to have a degree. But as I said before, there are some great apps out there. Chemical Maze is a great one that you can use to check. But always just making sure that you shop on the outside of the supermarket where you're getting all the fruits and veggies and less processed foods is a great place to start when you're looking to reduce the amount of additives, preservatives, and chemicals in your food. Now, we can also really focus on getting great sleep. We know that when we sleep, our body is in its rest and repair mode. So that's going to help reduce inflammation. Studies have shown people that get, you know, less sleep, that are trying to survive off sort of that 4 or 5 hours of night, are really waking up with increased inflammation already in their body, makes them more susceptible to cravings of high sugary foods that don't concentrate as well. So there's lots of, you know, reasons why we should be getting great sleep. And sometimes it can be really hard to prioritize that because we've got so many other things going on in our lives. But just, you know, we've talked about before about setting up a sleep routine, and you can go back to and listen to our episode with Abby Desjardins, the sleep expert. I'll link that in the show notes too, because that's a great episode for some sleep tips too. Taking supportive or adaptive herbs through things like mushroom powders or capsules, ashwagandha, spirulina, these really help to support our immune system, but our gut health as well. So if you can add some of those in, maybe into a morning smoothie, mushroom powders, you can add things into if you're cooking a soup or a broth. You don't actually taste it. It really just gets all mixed in there. And it's really just going to continue to support your immune system and your gut, which you're therefore going to flow on. That flow-on effect is going to help to balance out our hormones. Now, prioritizing our gut health is a really big thing. We know that so many of our hormones are produced in the gut, especially our serotonin, okay, which is our happy hormone. We want to keep our cortisol levels lower, you know, that's produced in our adrenal glands. So really focusing on our gut health, eliminating those inflammatory foods that we just talked about, but also thinking about, you know, foods that might be allergens or inflammatory for you, which could be things like dairy and gluten. These are foods that individually depends on your body, depends on your genetics and how you digest them. But there are other areas and foods that we can look at reducing or even eliminating. And, you know, doing an elimination diet, if you are unsure about that, you can listen in to our upcoming episode with Dr. Eva Maria, and she chats about an elimination diet. Really easy to do, but essentially you cut out a food for 21 days and then you just gradually, very slowly introduce it back in and see what effects you suffer, or if you don't have any and you know that that's fine to eat. So elimination diet can really help as well. And then finally, we want to think about our stress load. We know that, you know, a lot of us have been under a lot of stress the last couple of years with everything that's been happening in the world, but having some great ways that we can help to manage our stress, whether or not that's, you know, taking some time out to get out in nature, doing some exercise and get those endorphins going. Maybe it's just calling a friend or taking 5 minutes to just sit, close your eyes and breathe. Really managing those stress levels is almost the number one thing besides your gut health that I would say would really have a big impact on helping you lose weight and maintain a healthy weight also. Now, we know that when it comes to nutrients, our body does treat energy in different ways. Everyone used to say that you could eat a lolly or you could eat a piece of broccoli, and if they had the same calorie value, then calories in, calories out, doesn't matter what you're actually eating, as long as you've got those lower amount of calories, your body will burn it and everything will be okay. We know that that's not the case. We know that the nutrients that are in broccoli, all those vitamins and minerals and fiber, the way that our gut will break that food down, digest it, and then our body will use it is very different to how it would use the sugar, just pretty much pure sugar and maybe additives and preservatives coming out of a lolly. So the same food, even though it might be the same density in calories, does not end up being giving you the same building blocks for your body. And we know that every muscle, cell, bone structure in our body is made of food. We literally are what we eat. So we want to be making sure that we're eating these nutrient dense foods that's going to be giving us the most amount of nutrients so that we can really build a healthy body, healthy hormones, have lower inflammation, and therefore live a much healthier lifestyle. Now, you also may be thinking that maybe you've tried a calorie restriction diet before, or you've got a friend that has. I think we've all know somebody that has or tried it ourselves, and they've seen results. So they've really restricted the amount of calories that they've put into their body, and they have increased their exercise, and they have lost weight, and it did work. Now, it does work sometimes for some people. And again, this is where it depends on your base level of your health, whether or not you already have a lot of inflammation, whether or not your hormones are in balance or already out of whack. All these sort of age, lifestyle factors, your environment, these all come into play when that happens. And often you'll find that, you know, people may talk about going on a juice diet or a soup diet, and that diet is for 2 weeks. And so restricting those calories for 2 weeks, they do see weight loss. But that weight loss will be in the form of water to start with. And they may also lose muscle, not just fat. They may even lose more muscle than fat. And it may only work for a short period of time because it's not something that's sustainable. You may also find too that, you know, when kids or even adults are younger in your early 20s, you might have been like, oh, well, I could go out and I could just, you know, have a takeaway meal at lunchtime and then snack on some chips and chocolate in the evening. And, you know, I still maintained a healthy weight and, you know, felt fine. But we know that as our bodies age, our cells age, our metabolism changes, our cellular, you know, turnover slows down, and therefore what we ate and did in our teenage years or our 20s or even our 30s may not work when we get to our 40s, 50s, 60s and beyond. So it always does depend on so many different factors, but that's why you may see that calorie restriction may work for, you know, people that are younger or for a short period of time, but as the body gets further into an inflammatory state, you will find that, you know, even they may lose water, but their percentage of their body fat ratio to their muscle is not ideal. You may find you have a reduced immunity and it will have that flow-on effect. So generally, the younger a person is, the more resilient their body and cells are able to cope with things like calorie restrictions and, you know, foods that are not very nutrient dense and having a lack of sleep and maybe, you know, not doing a lot of exercise. But as our body's systems get more dysregulated, as our hormones get more disruptive, as we start to get older and our metabolism starts to slow down, we find that these sorts of, you know, calorie restrictive diets just don't tend to work. So, what is the key then to losing weight or maintaining a healthy weight? Well, we touched on a lot of it before, but it's remembering that a calorie isn't just a calorie, that we want to really look at the nutrient density of our food and choose the foods off, you know, what is going to be nutrient dense in the sense that does it have fiber, good fats, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants. These are all the types of substances that we want to be putting into our body to really promote a healthy, strong, you know, immune strong body also. So we can look at making sure that we're eating that healthy, low inflammatory diet. We're moving our body and exercising to protect our joints, but also our brain health. Reducing and managing our stress levels, prioritizing our sleep, eliminating chemicals and toxins from the food we eat, but also, you know, the products we're using on our bodies or in our homes, and then limiting and reducing alcohol where possible. So overall, when it comes down to it, are all calories created equal? No, very, very far from it. It really depends on the food you're eating. And also, we didn't touch on this, but at what time of day you're eating too. New studies are showing that the food that you eat and at what time of day you eat it will depend on how your body uses it. So that's a fascinating, you know, field, and they're doing more research into it, but that's part of the reason why intermittent fasting is becoming so popular. One, eating within that restricted period of window of hours. So, you know, for a lot of people doing intermittent fasting, it's that 8-hour window that you're eating means that you have less chance to eat as much food, but also fasting for that longer period of time and then eating a really healthy balanced meal, the studies are now showing that our body is using that food very differently, and rather than potentially storing those nutrients for later on, it will use it for the energy that it needs now. So I think that's another thing to think about too, is at what time of day are you eating and what are you eating at what time of day? So in the evening, you know, we know that if we have more of a carb-filled dinner, then it's going to help promote that sort of release of melatonin and make you that little bit more sleepy. Whereas if we're starting our day with a really good balance of proteins and fats and a little bit of carbs, then we're going to be less hungry throughout the day because we've really fueled up well. So a little bit of food for thought, that we're not just thinking about those different practices, but we can actually think about at what time of day we're eating what we're eating too. Okay, well, that's it from me for this week. I really hope this gave you a little bit of food for thought to think about what foods you're eating and how a calorie and the energy that's in a calorie really depends on what food source it's coming from. And that may help you if you're looking to lose weight. Maybe you're just looking to increase your energy and feel better. Maybe you know that you've got an autoimmune condition or issues happening with hormones. You know, adopting some of these practices can really help to support your overall health, your immunity, and really help you feel at your best. All right, have a fantastic week, and I'll see you next week on the podcast. Thanks for listening into the podcast. Please hit subscribe to be updated for each time we release a new podcast.